Today, President Trump has said that the inquiry into the causes of COVID-19 in Wuhan will prove conclusive. This has come after a slew of diverting announcements aiming at avoiding any responsibility for the terrible death toll afflicting US citizens. But a lot of this could just be for domestic consumption. With US presidential elections scheduled for November, the coronavirus pandemic has meant that the Republican candidate and current president must refresh his strategy for re-election. Karishma Luthria has the story.
A Gallup poll from April revealed that Trump's approval rating fell by 6 points to 43%. This is the sharpest drop recorded in the Republican's presidency to date. Associate Professor in American Politics from the University of Sydney, Brendan O'Connor, joins us. Thanks for your time, Brendan. Can you tell us what Trump's original campaign strategy was for 2020?
Well, Trump's strategy would have been the stock market's never been better. The unemployment rate in America is very low. The economy is doing really well, and he would have claimed all credit for that, of course. He wouldn't have said, well, it was rising at the end of the Obama presidency. He would have said it was me, me, me. That obviously has been blown away by the coronavirus.
And how has this campaign strategy changed with COVID-19?
There were arguments about Donald Trump wanting to put his own signature on these kind of checks to individual Americans in the form of kind of a guaranteed income. If there is a recovery plan, which is going to cost the United States a lot of money, and Donald Trump will be the sort of, you know, he'll be presenting himself as Father Christmas, as coming in with this economic stimulus that it's really almost like his money, the government money, his personal decisions. And so he'll be claiming credit where credit isn't due. That's what we know of Trump, that if the figures of the death toll are under 200,000, which seems an extraordinary amount, he'll say he save the American people. Now, why anyone would buy any of this is beyond me, but lots of people bought, I think, similar myths and lies from Donald Trump last time round.
And do you think voters will blame Trump for his handling of the US response to the virus during elections in November?
One of the sort of fascinating things about the coronavirus in America is that people would have thought, well, this is an opportunity for Trump to be a dictator, to seize power, to be an authoritarian sort of leader. Now, he's done that in terms of the way he's talked in his press conference, talked like a sort of a mad dictator at times, but he hasn't want to seize a lot of federal control over restricting people to go out. He's left that up to the governors. And one of the reasons he's left that up to the governors is to say, look, if they get it wrong, it was their fault, it wasn't mine.
Many are suggesting Trump will pivot to a wartime leader approach. Do you think that's likely?
Well, I think that's one of the things you'd be very concerned about Trump being re-elected or even for the rest of the year, that he starts to blame China for this, that he talks of this being a virus from China, uses racist language, xenophobic language, and that this ups the sort of antagonism between the United States and China. And it puts, as it, and it is used quite deliberately, and there's people talking in the White House, people like Mike Pompeo, the Secretary of State, talking about the using that language because it engenders fear in Americans, because it's a distraction from, I think, the real issues.
Today, the White House announced that Trump's daily press briefings would be turned to weekly ones. Do you think the frequency of these conferences serves some sort of campaign purpose?
You have what is sort of a circus from the president in the Oval Office. We think of the presidents in great moments of crisis in American history, like the Great Depression or World War II. Franklin Delano Roosevelt had these fireside chats of sort of most powerful use of radio early in American politics, where people tuned in to feel reassured. If there are people that feel reassured after listening to Donald Trump, it's only because they would be buying into a fantasy. But it hasn't led to a plummeting of Trump's support. Support is still strong amongst Republicans. His base is still with him. He might not win the popular vote, but he could win a narrow electoral college victory.
And finally, Brendan, what do you think this attention means for presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden?
Well, the reality seems to be that the more light we put on Trump just gives him more attention. We haven't thought and heard much of Joe Biden. And by getting all the attention for enough voters, this gives a sense of Trump being in control. Biden is struggling to get airtime. In a crisis, we focus on the leadership of a country because we hopefully want them to make the right decisions. One tactic of Biden is to sort of stand back and think, well, Trump is just sort of you know, causing damage to himself on a daily basis. And at some point, some Republican voters are going to say, look, he's endangered our lives by his decisions, and they will by default be drawn to Biden. That tactic doesn't always work, and there will be others saying, well, Biden, he needs to show that he's got an economic plan, a healthcare plan that's better than Trump. So I think there'll be this sense of Biden trying to work out whether he just should sort of almost play dead and he'll win the election that way.
Associate Professor in American Politics from the University of Sydney, Brendan O'Connor, ending that report from Karishma Luthria.